What's good? What's good? I am back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. So I'm about to bring on another guest, as I always do, and he will be fighting at BKFC Fight Night in Albuquerque, February 28th against Lorenzo Coca. Let's bring on the one and only Ruben De Beast Arroyo. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you able to turn your camera just a tad bit? Because you're out of the screen a little bit. Yeah. So I was reading your bio on BKFC, and I was very interested where I saw it said you lived on a Native American reservation. What was life like there?
Honestly, it was great, man. I loved it. Got to be involved with my culture and my community a lot. I always did things for my community, always participated in the ceremonies, tribal ceremonies. I love to dance when it comes to my tribal dances. I like to get my kids involved with that too. My daughters, my son, you know, it's a whole family affair, though. My mom, my brother, my sisters, everybody, you know.
Yeah, I'm a laws of nature guy, so, and I know Native Americans really tapped in with nature and whatnot, so it's always been so interesting to me, you know, just the way their life, the way they just basically followed the buffalo and things of that nature. It was just, it's crazy, man.
Yeah, I love it. I love nature. I like going out. I like going on hikes. I like just going and chilling on top of a mountain, just relaxing, taking in the view. You know, me and my son, we do that a lot. That's what we do sometimes just for fun, just to go pass the time. Especially living out here in Colorado, you got a lot of views, a lot of trails. It's beautiful.
Now, I also seen where you was incarcerated one time, and when you was getting out, it said your home burnt down. Like, we had our apartment burnt down, like, I think, like, 3 weeks before Christmas one time. Like, how tough was that, though, like, losing all that at once?
Honestly, it sucked, bro, because I had just got out of jail. Doing time. I took a deal to get out. I didn't want to spend more time in there than I needed to. Mm-hmm. I'm just wasting time. You know, it was dead time. I wasn't even getting credit for it. A lot of the times I've been incarcerated has been dead time that I didn't even get credit for. So I was just trying to get out of there. On my way home, I was driving home. Somebody had picked me up from jail and they were giving me a ride home, a friend. And my cousin called me at the time, like literally 5 minutes before I got there. And he told me, he's like, "Hey man, I forgot to tell you, like about 5 days ago, your house burned down." Like, what do you mean? Man. I was like, "Well, how are you going to forget that a 3-story building right across from you burnt down and you forget to tell somebody, especially somebody who's been calling you all day to tell you that he's getting out of jail, you know?" Yeah. And it just sucked. Got home, everything was burnt, was covered up either with boards or plastic. Like, it sucked. I lost everything. All I came home to was a car that didn't even work. Luckily, I was able to get it working eventually. I got out with $20, or actually less than $20, to my name. Damn. And nothing but the clothes on my back that I was wearing, which is basically a muscle shirt and some shorts, a pair of shoes, socks and underwear. And that was it. Had nothing else. Had no money to eat. Had nowhere to go. I had no family because it was out in Colorado. So I had no one to stay with. And I was forced to make a life decision right then and there, either tuck my tail and go back home and ask for help from my tribe and my pueblo. You know, they could have easily helped me out, gave me a job, could have helped me get a place to stay or live or give me a house in the tribe, you know, and it could have been a lot easier, less stress. But that's when I said, nah, I'm going to, a saying in Spanish, me voy a amarrar los huevos, I'm going to tie my balls, you know, and make this, make the best out of this, and I'm gonna stay out here I had 2 years on probation that I had to do on paper for Colorado. Mm-hmm. And so I basically had to stay here or get transferred back to Texas. And I said, no, I'm going to make it work. I'm going to do it here. And I just ended up living in my car for 17, 18 months, a year and a half, basically. Living out of my car, stacking up cash. In that time, I wasn't a bum, though. I was homeless, but I worked. I went to the gym when I wasn't at work, to have somewhere to go. I would find parks to just go chill and park and maybe sleep there in my car. I would find gyms to go and shower and work out, just keep it going. Just because I was homeless didn't mean I had to look the part, Didn't mean I had to smell and be dirty. So a lot of people, like the people I worked with and stuff like that, they would talk crap about homeless people and all this stuff, not knowing that I was one. And how, my heart goes out to people less fortunate and stuff, but my heart don't go out to those people who are on the corners begging, because yeah. The shoe has been on the other foot in my case, and I have been there and I have lost it all. But I didn't ask for a handout. I didn't ask for help. I didn't ask for money or anything. All I did was ask for some job applications, filled them out, and eventually I got a job, started stacking up my cash, saving money. I wasn't going to be happy enough with just getting enough money to get a house and move in, mm-hmm. So I stuck it longer than I needed to out living in my car, so that eventually when I did move into my house, I can move in and buy furniture without having to make payments, buy everything that I needed. So I just wanted to just in one shot have everything and not to worry about it and be stressed out. So it took me a year and a half, but I did it.
You think a time like that in your life has helped you just be mentally stronger through anything you got to deal with going forward?
It definitely has. Because before that happened, there was a little incident where I was very down on my luck. I was depressed. I really had nowhere to go. Also, I didn't know what to do. I was on the run from the law. And, I had a lot of bad misfortunes happening over and over. And everything just kept going like a domino effect. And everything just got worse until eventually something happened that I just said I couldn't take this no more. And I decided to end my life, and I literally hung myself, committed suicide, and pronounced legally dead. And when the cops showed up and the paramedics, they said I was dead. So they just pronounced me dead, and they started taping up the scene and everything. I don't know how long I was legally dead for, but eventually, like, I came back to out of nowhere, out of the blue. But my body was still paralyzed. I couldn't move or nothing. And I was literally laying on the floor face down in a puddle of water. And I couldn't move nothing except my mouth, like just my lips, just to like yell for help or something. But I couldn't move. And eventually the cops heard, and they were tripping out. And when they heard me moving and stuff, like, I couldn't move. I was just yelling. They jumped on me and they started whooping my ass and saying, stop resisting. I'm like, I'm not resisting. And they're all like, turn around. I'm like, I can't move. I literally can't move. I'm like paralyzed. I'm stuck. I need help. And they hogtied me and dragged me out. And, took me to a hospital, went through the whole process, did what I had to do. I've been through a lot of shit, man.
Yeah, it's actually crazy that you said that, because that's how my pops went. He actually committed suicide and basically killed himself because he was depressed and whatnot. But so you get into MMA. What got you into going to MMA?
Anger and hurt. I had a lot of frustrations, anger and hurt, and I was offered an opportunity from a friend of my father's who was a fighter himself. He extended a warm welcome to me, and I took it eventually. He offered me a fight. He said, this guy can fight. He told our coach, he said, he can fight. Get him a fight. They're like, he has no training. He's literally been here for one day. They're like, do you want to fight? You think you can do this? I was like, I thought about it for a second, and I said, yeah, I do, because I'll never know if I'll ever get this chance again. This is my dream. Yeah. This is what I've always wanted since I was a little kid. I've always wanted to be some kind of a pro boxer, pro fighter, or a wrestler. I wanted to be in, at the time, WWF, now WWE, you know? And I used to watch boxing all the time with my aunts, my uncles, family, you know, watch Cesar Chavez, Julio Cesar Chavez, you know, as a kid growing up, watching Oscar De La Hoya, a lot of the greats, you know?
Yeah.
And I used to mimic them, you know, as a kid, you know, do the entrances, dress up, you know, just come out and let's do it. And, you know, eventually that's, I turned that dream and that playful time into a reality. It's just a dream that I've always wanted because I know that I'm a badass motherfucker and I can hang with these badass motherfuckers. So I wanted to prove it to the world that I'm not just talking. I wanted to be able to shut up all them people that doubted me and said I would never do this. One time in high school, I stood up as a freshman. They said, introduce yourself, tell us something about you, and tell us what your dream is and your future goals and aspirations. And I told them, well, I stood up. I said my name. And I hope one day I can be the light heavyweight UFC champion.
Okay.
And they laughed. A couple people laughed. And they're like, lightweight? What's lightweight about you, bro? You know, because I was a little chubbier, heavier set. But look at me now. I'm a fucking, yeah, I'm not the skinniest, most shredded guy, but I'm a lightweight fighter.
That was
a fuck you to the haters that doubted me.
Why did you decide to transition from MMA to bare knuckle? Like, a lot of, you didn't think it was crazy or nobody was telling you that was crazy at first?
A lot of people said I was crazy and something was wrong with me for wanting to do bare knuckle, but let's be real. They said the same thing when I wanted to do the UFC when it was fresh and new. And it was just as action-packed as what the BKFC is now. MMA, to me, has gotten boring. There's not as much action. There's too much hugging and wrestling. And
yep.
I don't like that. I like the nonstop. And towards the end of my MMA career, I was trying to stand up and go toe-to-toe with these guys more than taking it to the ground and ground and pound, which is what I usually used to do. So I try to stand up there and just go at it. But every single one of my MMA opponents that I stood toe-to-toe and banged with, they always wanted to go straight to the ground because none of them could ever hang with me. And I always said, one day I'm going to try to throw my hat in the boxing ring towards the end of my career, you know, if that's the way it goes. Let's go that way for the money, because that's where the money's at.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, from that time to now, there was a new evolution, bare knuckle, which wasn't a choice back then. And now it is, and it's a lot better. It's more exciting. I think it's more exciting. It's more fun. And it's honestly the most... it's the most dangerous, most deadly sport, and the fighters there are real savages, real dogs, and it takes a special kind of someone. And like they say, bare knuckle's not for the athletes, it's for the dogs. And yeah, it is for us. And so that way, I see that it's the most hard, the most difficult thing. So I've been through a lot of hard, difficult challenges in my life, and I've overcome a lot. So there ain't no reason why I can't do this. That's why I chose bare knuckle.
Yeah, it's definitely more exciting than MMA. I mean, you get 12 fights and they pump them out so fast. And it also has, to me, when I watch it, it has a feel like WWE, but actual bare knuckle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you got recruited in Denver at some tryouts, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, sir.
Like, what happened to those tryouts? Like, did you have to fight multiple fighters? Like,
we had to do a lot of conditioning training to see if we had conditioning, if we could last. There was a lot of stuff, like just regular push-ups here. We could do X amount of push-ups, sit-ups, running plays, jog around just to see where our stamina's at, if we could hang. And during that time, I don't know, I just kept pushing. Even if I'm tired, it don't matter. I keep pushing, and I'm always like, that's it, let's go, let's keep going, you know. And I just kept pushing with it. We had to spar multiple opponents. I sparred 3 different opponents, and obviously I did good enough to get put on and brought on. We also did like some trainings or some little, like a flag takeaway game, like basically towing the line type of deal. And I was actually the fastest one on that one. I took the flag in like less than half a second. So it was great. I had the time of my life there, honestly. Everything that I've been doing as far as bare knuckle, I've been enjoying it all from beginning to the end, starting as a fan watching it at home the first time, all the way to the first time I went. Every time they come to Denver, I've always been there. I just love it, man. It's just something that I love.
Now, you said they focused on conditioning. You think a lot of guys that might get into bare knuckle underestimate the cardio needed once you go further and further through these rounds?
Yeah, most definitely. But I think that's with every sport, not just fighting. I mean, football, baseball, anything. Cardio.
Well, I think because it's like only 5 2-minute rounds. I think some people were thinking like, you know, it might not need as much cardio as like a boxing match, but that's not really true.
No, you need more, because honestly, like them 2 minutes of straight banging, nonstop action, no gloves, that shit hurts and it takes a toll on you, your body, your face. As you see a lot of the guys coming out, you know, rearrange faces, you know, for a couple weeks and stuff. That's part of the game, though. Honestly, I don't mind having the cuts and the bruises. I kind of like it. It's a little badge of honor, and it's always a good story to tell or an opener.
So you had your first fight versus Nash Diedrichs. Didn't go your way. I know right at the bell, you went straight at him. You think you might have got a little too like reckless or overzealous on that first one?
Nah, I just got caught. Shit happens.
Okay.
I was doing good. He just caught me. Got me with a good shot. And that's it, you know? We learn from our mistakes. We move on, pick ourselves up. I can't dwell on it. I can't sweat it or stress it too much. You know, it's on to the next. As soon as that fight was over, I was already looking for the next one. I wasn't doubting myself. I was happy regardless of the outcome that happened. Yeah. I had the time of my life. I enjoyed every moment of it, every second. And I'm not going to cry about it, because what are you going to do, cry over spilled milk? There's nothing I can do about it. It's already done. It's on to the next. No looking back.
So you don't even go back and watch none of the film or nothing to see what you could have did differently or anything of that nature?
Yeah, I did look at the film. I watched it. I thought that I had dropped my guard and I got caught when I dropped my hand, but looking at the video over and over again, I was in the process of going for a body shot. I was just going and he just caught me with that overhand. And, you know, he literally beat me to the punch. So that's what it is, you know, all respect to the man, but hopefully one day we can run it back.
So you got your next opponent is Lorenzo Coca. What do you know about him?
I know more about his brother, to be honest.
Okay.
Joe Coca, which is one of the refs from BKFC, and he does MMA and all that other stuff. I really found out about Lorenzo when he made his debut against Ruben War in BKFC. But I ain't got nothing but love and respect for the man. I ain't got nothing but respect for all my opponents, anybody who does this. I ain't got no hatred for nobody. I know eventually as we progress and get better in this game, there might be some toes we step on, you know, or whatever. People might not like me or whatever. That's just part of the game, though. And it ain't no hate. It's all love. I just know he's a guy from New Mexico. I think he's from Albuquerque. I know he's a biker, and he does a lot of stuff with his biker crew or whatever. Other than that, I know he's an ex-MMA guy also. He was a 9-9 MMA fighter, I believe. Other than that, that's all I know. But I ain't got no hate.
I saw where he said he took like a 10-year hiatus. Does that make a fighter rusty, 10 years off?
Honestly, me and him being matched up, I feel like it's a perfect matchup because he had a 10-year hiatus. I had almost the same amount. I went over 9 years since between MMA and bare knuckle without a fight. So it was over 9 years, almost as long as him. We're both fighting at 155. We're both 5'7". We're both coming off a loss on our debut. We're both 0-1. Somebody's old got to go. And that's just it. I just feel like we're pretty matched up, you know?
Like, what's going to be the key to coming out with a victory?
Just being better, stronger, and faster. Not doubting yourself, having confidence, and sticking to the plan. And, of course, got to listen to your coach.
Now, he had the one fight, you had the one fight. So y'all basically only really got footage to go off of one fight apiece, right?
Yes, sir.
So how do you typically train for a fighter when you don't really have much to go off of, like, but just one fight footage?
I typically try not to watch footage.
Okay.
I'd rather not watch footage and get in my head. I rather just go in there and let's do what we got to do and stick to the plan. I know the plan changes once you get hit, but it don't matter. Whatever gets thrown your way, you got to stick to your plan. You might get a little speed bumps along the way, but just got to stick to it and do what you got to do. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. But I'm with a team that they know what it takes to make it work and get the wins. You know, I got world-class champions in my gym. And so if my coach can take them to that level, I know he can take me too.
Now, you in a pretty tough division, man. What do you think it's going to take to get a shot at the title?
Just win. That's it. Nothing really more. You can be flamboyant and be all out there and wear them big crazy outfits. You know, you can cause drama. You can be one of those characters. I'm not one of those characters. As much as sometimes they try to tell me or push me, be like, hey, you should do this or dress up like that or come. I'm like, no, that's not me. I'm not that type of guy. You're trying to take me out of the character that I am and be somebody that I'm not. And I'm just trying to be as realistic and be me as me as what I am. I'm not trying to be nobody else. I'm not trying to imitate nobody or be like anybody. I just want to be the best me I can be.
And that's part of the reason I said it feels like wrestling, because you got these guys, like some guys have gimmicks, you know. Some guys have gimmicks, and I guess you know, you try to get attention and stuff like that. And it is what it is, man. I mean, because everybody's trying to come to BKFC now, right? I mean, it seems like every card, they got debut fighters every time.
It's awesome, man. It's blowing up. We're taking over. We're going to take over, you know. And the gimmick thing, it's not for me, you know. If anything, they even said, hey, try to come out, you know, you're an Indian, come out in your suit or whatever. Maybe one day as a warrior, if I get the blessing from my people and my tribe to do something like that, with all respect, of course, I ain't going to do it just on my own. I have to have permission. That's where the big respect comes from, you know, and I'm a person about respect, respecting others, respecting cultures and all that, you know, just that's a big thing for me. So I'm not somebody out there that is trying to go out there in like a Indian headdress, like some people do, and they're not even natives, yeah. And that's disrespectful. You know, I'm not a chief either, so I'm not gonna wear a headdress like that, because that's something that's you're supposed to earn. That's for chiefs, you know. That's not just for anybody. Any feather, the amount of feathers you have, those are earned. It's not something that's just given. It's not to be like a costume, just like a lot of people wear, you know, Halloween costumes and dress like that and disrespect and stuff. Or like, nothing against women, but like when women wear the headdresses, that's a disrespect to us too. The tattoos of Native American women with the headdress, that's disrespectful, you know? And I wouldn't disrespect that either. Just like if I were to go into your church, depending if you're a different religion, and I shit on your God or your religion, you ain't gonna like that, you know? So it's the same thing.
It sounds like you value traditions.
Yes, sir.
Now, they got this $25 million tournament. Like, what have you heard about it? And are you looking to try to get in this?
If I can get in, I can get in. If that's what's in the works for me, then it's in the works for me. If that's God's plan for me, it's God's plan. If it's not and I'm meant to do something else, then we'll do it. We'll just take it day by day. I'm not looking ahead. I got to worry about Lorenzo Coca. That's the issue at hand right now. That's where we're looking. We're not looking past him. We're not going to doubt him or underestimate him, you know, or take him lightly, because he is also a pro. He's up in here. He's made his way. He's earned a spot in BKFC. You know, he might have lost or whatever, but he's still a badass. And I'm sure he'll be able to whoop mostly anybody else's ass out there in the real world, you know? So anybody can get caught anytime, just like I got caught the last time, just like he got caught, you know? So there's no hate. There's no underestimating my opponent ever. I know I can always go out there and knock him out and I can win, but same thing, it could go both ways.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Yeah, both of y'all are looking for your first win, so we know there's 50% chance either one of y'all is going to get a win. Somebody, like you said, somebody's coming out with a win. Now, yeah. How important is, like, fight of the night to you?
It'd be awesome. It's cool. It's a little bragging, right? It's a little extra thing to put on your little profile, you know, your resume. Helps you get more money in the long run, but I just want to get a fucking win, bro. Like, yeah. It don't matter, but of course, we all want to set records. We all want to get fight of the night. We all want that knockout bonus. You know, no, nobody's ever against extra money.
Yeah, I don't know if you watch all the fight cards.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, because there was the weird one with Justin Martinez. He fought the Alexander Prince Gutierrez. And he didn't want to, you could tell he didn't want his win to go down like that. World Boy was talking about his back and quit. But a win is a win, man, when you're trying to get that first one, I would think, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. But you know what? Justin also, that's my boy. He's cool. He's cool in my book. And you know what? He got another chance in Albuquerque the same night.
He's already on another card. He's actually fighting the guy that Gutierrez beat, I think, before.
Yeah, so
that's gonna be interesting.
And go get win number two, Justin. Like, you know, just go out there and get it. Do what you do. I know he didn't want it that way. I know a win like that, I wouldn't want it either. It's not something I'll really brag about, you know. I want to win with no shadow of a doubt that I won. You know, I want a clean win. It'd be great if I could get a clean walk-off win. You know, that's the kind of win everybody wants, you know. But if I come out bloody, busted open, whatever, as long as I get my hand raised, that's the ultimate goal.
Now, do you ever like calling guys out by name, or do you just prefer to fight whoever BKSC like brings your way?
Both. Both. Don't matter. Both.
Okay.
I'll take whoever I can get, whoever they throw my way. I don't really question or look, oh, this guy, they throw a contract my way, let's sign it. That's it. Like, gotta fight. All right, let's do it. I ain't gotta be like, oh, who is he or who has he fought? How many fights? Or I don't worry about that because we're all here. We're all at this level. You know, some of us are better than others, but, you know, each person, they all have their night, or, you know, just like in football, any given Sunday is any given night for a fighter, you know. It might be your night, it might not be. But for the most part, I don't really care who I'm fighting. I just want to fight. There's some guys that I have called out, you know, in the past, like Mighty Mouse Johnson. It'd be an honor to fight him. I don't want no title or nothing like that. It was just be an honor to fight him because who he is, you know. I ain't got no hate towards him, and it was never a disrespectful call out. It was a call out because it's nothing but love and respect for him, and it'd be an honor to go bare knuckle with somebody like him. He said, oh, hell no, he'll never do that shit. But, you know, it is what it is. I would like to also fight John Dodson one day. I've called him out. I've told him. He knows what it is. He said, yeah. Only thing is, I got to make that weight. I got to cut weight in order to meet him down there, you know, and I'm not trying to fight.
What's that? That's bantamweight.
Yeah, he's like 135, 125.
Yeah.
Long way for me to go. But I don't want to fight him like for his belt or nothing like that, because for me to stay down that low, it ain't going to happen. I just want to have like a fight with him just because who he is, you know, just because, and because I respect him and what he's done for this sport.
Yeah, he's about due for another fight here soon because it's been a while. So that was something I was checking out the other day. I've been noticing there'll be a lot of older guys in BKFC. Like, do you think there should be like a maximum age limit in bare knuckle fighting?
Nah, bro. As long as you can do it, you can hang, you can bang, then go for it. Like, people say age don't mean shit, man. Age is just a number. In reality, age is just a number. It's a man-made thing. Time is a man-made thing. It's not something that truly exists, because if you go on the planet, you move a year here and the time here is not gonna matter or count the same somewhere else, you know, on a different planet. So obviously it's a man-made, it's a human thing, and so is age, time, and all that, and basically numbers and all that don't really exist. That's just a state of mind. If you want to say you're this many years old and by this age, you know, you shouldn't be doing it, you know. No, age is a state of mind. I know a lot of older cats that are in way better shape than these 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds, you know, and vice versa. But
because you got a guy like
do it.
You got a guy like Houston Alexander. I mean, he's literally 5-0, 6-0, but they haven't let him fight in like 2 years because he just hit 50 and then now 51, 52. But I'm just like, damn, the guy's undefeated. You should still be letting him fight.
That's what I said, but I ain't the matchmaker. I'm not the boss. That ain't it's out of my control. And that's just something that really, it ain't for me to speak on, because I ain't going to step on nobody's toes. I'm just happy with the fact that I get my fights, and that's all that really matters to me, is focusing on myself and my career and not worrying about everybody else and what's going on with them. You know, I'm 37 years old. I'm getting up there too. So I came back into this game, you know, I thought I was out the fight game. I thought I was done with it. I thought I was retired and gone out the game until BKFC came along, and it gave me a chance to renew myself and have another shot of this. And I'm thankful and I'm grateful for it. I'm thankful for Mr. David Feltman. Thankful for everybody part of the BKFC staff, everybody who helped me get on, who helped me get me as a featured fighter, Chris Lytle, Mr. Lopez, who referred me to him, you know, a lot of people, you know, G. Perez. He's always been a good guy. He's always been cool with me. He's always been good to me and my son, you know. There's a lot of them part of that crew, you know. I'm just thankful for all of them, man. They're just, that's just one big happy family, you know. And so sometimes, you know, they might not agree with each other and they might get mad or fight, and you know, but who doesn't in a family, you know?
Now, you fought 4 months ago, you fighting 4 months later. Is that typically where you want to be at, like every 4 months?
Shit, honestly, if I could fight every month, I'll fight every month. If I want to do this, you know, if I could stay active as much as possible, then that's even better, you know. I'm 37.
That's kind of young and bare knuckle, though, right? I mean...
There's some dudes
19, 20 like 44, 45, 46, 47.
I'm like middle age for bare knuckle, I guess. But I'm 37. I'm getting older. I want to be able to do this for as much time as I can. But I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. I want to get in here, make a name for myself, do something, make some money, and then move on to the next thing. But I don't want to be an old man in here still doing this, because I got my son and my kid. And once he gets to a certain age, the focus is going to shift from me to him. And he wants to be a wrestler, a fighter. He wants to do bare knuckle one day. And I'm going to help him. Yeah, he's in wrestling right now. He's gone to, I believe, like 8 tournaments so far, and he's medaled at every single tournament. So, you know, it's just a start. It's just the beginning for him. And eventually, we're going to go ahead and make it about him. Another reason why I started doing this is because of him, because he asked me to. He said, "Can you do it, Dad? You should do it, this and that. You'll be cool. I want you to do it." I was like, "Yeah, I want to do it too. Let's do it, son." I was like, "I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do this shit. I'm going to fucking make it happen. And I'm going to be in there. I'm going to be in that ring one day, and I'm going to fight." And this is before I even got put on for the tryouts or anything. And I told him, "I will be there. I will do this. And I'm going to show you that I can do it, and I can make my dreams come true, and I can live it up. And when I do it, remember, it's going to be your turn afterwards. I want you to see that if I can do it and your dad can do it, then that means you can do it. So never doubt yourself, son. Always believe in yourself and be there." I also got 3 daughters, and they might not be into the whole fight game. They might not be into this thing. They might not love it, but whatever dreams they have, I just want them to know that they can make their dreams come true and make it a reality. It's just a dream until you put the wheels in motion and you make it happen. But it just started off with me saying, you know what? I turned on the TV one day. I saw that Bare Knuckle was going to be on TV that day, and Christine Fierro versus Taylor Starling was going to be the main event. And I was like, "Oh, shit. Those are my homies. I'm going to watch this shit." You know, so I watched it and I got hooked. I was hooked since then. And that's just basically a wrap from there. You know, I want everyone to know, not just my kids. I want my family. I want the people that doubted me. I want my community. I want the people in my pueblo, my tribe, to be able to say, "Look, if he can do it, we can do it. We went to the same schools, grew up in the same streets, went to the same parks, got in trouble with the same people or whatever, you know, and turn our lives around. If he can do it," and I was a big fuck up. I was a real big fuck up. I made a lot of mistakes in my life. I've gone to jail. I've been in and out of the system since I was 11 years old. And just recently, I started getting my shit together and behaving, you know. Took me a lot longer than I should have, but eventually it got done. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. And I want the whole world to know that if this is your dream, whether you want to fight in BKFC or UFC, MMA, WWE, you want to play football, you want to be a scientist, you want to be a doctor, you want to be a teacher, or a podcaster, you can do it. All you got to do is just put in the work. Just do it. Don't say it. Do it.
All right, so February 28th, BKFC Fight Night, Albuquerque, you and Lorenzo Coco. What are we going to expect?
There's going to be some fireworks and a lot of blood. We're going to fuck each other up, and somebody's getting knocked the fuck out. And this time, I am planning on getting my fucking hand raised.
You got a prediction for us? First round, second round?
Only prediction is we're going to fuck each other up real fucking bad, and somebody's getting knocked the fuck out. That's for damn sure. And this time, it ain't going to be me.
Well, we're going to have to make sure we clip that up and tag Lorenzo into that one. Well, man, I appreciate you taking the time out, man. I've actually been on a Denver run lately, man. I just interviewed Andrew Strode. He's from out your way, too, right?
Yeah, he trains at Genesis with us, too.
And I forgot what else somebody else I just interviewed recently out of Denver as well. I just totally forgot, man. But, yeah, I've been on a Denver run. One more question for y'all go. Like, that fight, like, training in the altitude, does it give you an advantage, you think, over other fighters?
Honestly, I don't know. I just train, I run, do whatever. Sometimes I might feel like the difference, you know, going back home and being able to outrun everybody else compared to here. They say, well, it's maybe the elevation. To some people, that might be a thing. I don't really see.
You know, the sports world makes it a thing all the time. Every time basketball teams go to play Denver, they always talk about the altitude.
Yeah, they always need a reason to justify their losses. And you know
that sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds about right.
It is what it is. It don't matter if I'm gonna fight here in Colorado, New Mexico, Texas, Mexico. If I'm gonna fight in Paris, Japan, Italy, whatever, I don't give a shit. Like, I want to fight, I'm gonna fight. If it's a high altitude, if it's below sea level, it don't matter. We're gonna fight regardless. You know, just fucking make it happen. You know, to me, I don't worry about those things. I don't get stressed out. I did another interview yesterday, and they said that a lot of my teammates from Genesis, that they had asked them about me, and they said a lot of them said that I have a big head as far as not being full of myself, but having a big head as in I have a lot of confidence in myself, and that they see that. And they told me that a lot of the fighters from my gym actually said that they envy that from me, that they wish they had the confidence I have, that I go in there without doubting myself, you know, just knowing that I'm there to put in work and that's what we're going to do. And it's just the confidence comes from everything that I've been through, bro. All the in and out of jail, the bad shit, you know, like, I literally took my own fucking life at one point in time. And that was my biggest fight. And I came out on top of that one. So if that didn't beat me, nothing else can. I've been through so much shit, that so much drama, so much pain, so much hurt, that the fighting ain't shit to me. Going in there and getting hit and beat up or whatever, getting cut open, that doesn't worry me. That doesn't scare me. Because the hits that life has thrown my way hurt a lot more and did a lot more damage. But if I could survive that, then a little 10-minute fight in the ring ain't shit, bro.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, and plus, you getting paid to do what you love, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's always a blessing when you actually get paid to do something you love, because there's a lot of people out here getting paid to work jobs that they can't stand.
Yes, sir. That's the best part about it, doing what you love, getting paid to do what you do. And the best part about it is I'm making a living off of the stuff that they said I needed a fucking change in my life. The things that I needed to get rid of or be better and not do this because it was going to get me in trouble and lead me to nowhere.
Yeah.
I get paid to smoke and fight. I get paid to promote smoking and fighting. And that's the things they said they were going to get me in trouble. And look at me now. The things they said that were going to be no good for me as a kid, because I was always a smoker, always been a smoker. I love to get high, you know, live in Colorado, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, so it is what it is, but I'm just blessed that I didn't end up dead or in jail. I did go to jail a couple of times, but at least I ain't in prison. I never been to prison, at least. I've been in and out of the system, jail, probation, all that stuff. But thank God I turned my life around before I ever hit the big time and hit the prison yard. I'd rather hit the big time in the ring.
Yeah, I'm too small for prison, man.
I'm too cute to go to prison.
All right, before we let you go, man, any shout outs you want to do, man?
Shout out to my team, of course, Team Genesis. Shout out to my fight team, Orozco Elite. Shout out to my manager, all my sponsors, especially Speaking Rock, the casino back home. Okay. They're my biggest sponsor. Shout out to Whitney Johns Nutrition, EDS Supplements, Coca-Cola, Billboard Mats, HKA USA, you know, Denver Chiropractic, and of course, big shout out to Hazel, Belinda, Mary Jane, and baby Ruben, my kids. Dad loves you, and I do this for you girls and my son.
So your biggest sponsorship is from the reservation?
Yes, sir.
That's what's up.
They're my main sponsors. I got a few other sponsors here and there, but I teamed up with my casino back home and my people because, like I said, I'm all about my people, and I do this for them. I'm not trying to promote myself. I want to promote my people as one. It's not about me. This is a lot bigger than me.
That's what's up. Well, I appreciate you taking the time out, man. I'm going to get off here and make sure I clip up some clips. Also, get an article written up for you and post it to the blog page as well. And you're a friend of the show, man, so I'm going to be checking for you, be rooting for you. I know we got to wait some days. We got about, 2 weeks?
3 weeks.
3 weeks? Oh, yeah, we got about 3 weeks. So
24 days, exactly.
Yeah, they've been pumping out events. I mean, you just had Pechanga. I mean, you had the Philly. You had Connecticut. Now they're going to UK. I mean, they're definitely pumping out a lot of events to start this year.
It's UK this week. And then in 2 weeks, it'll be us in Albuquerque. 3 weeks after Albuquerque.
Philly again.
Philly again.
Florida again. Of course, they always doing the Hard Rock. What is it? The Seminole Hard Rock Cafe Casino. Yeah. They know to milk that spot. They always do well at that spot.
I got some plans for April, but I can't.
It's cool. That. We'll get you on here later, and you can announce it.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
Anytime, man. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Likewise. Thank you. Thank
all right, you all. Peace.
Make sure y'all follow me too at the Beast BKFC on Instagram and all socials.
All right, peace.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. Ruben the Beast Arroyo is going to be fighting BKFC Fight Night Albuquerque, February 28th against Lorenzo Coca. Got a stat card too. Let's just go through some of the card real quick on that one. Of course, you got Keith Richardson fighting Usmanov. I know I butchered his name. You got Sanchez, Aiken. I'm trying to see who else. You got Ruben Arroyo and Coca on here. You got Dotson versus Van Vo. You got Derek Perez on here. Justin Martinez back on here. Wild Bill, Justin Jackson. A lot of well-known names in BKFC on this fight card. And, of course, Keith Richardson is the main event. He's trying to basically get his belt back. We'll see how that goes. But make sure y'all tune in. And I think that one is going to be on the BKFC app, which is also available on, like, Amazon Prime as well. And, you know, some of the fights are on the Zone, but this one should be on the BKFC app. BKFC Fight Night Albuquerque, February 28th. So appreciate y'all tuning in to another episode of the Paul Pickett Podcast. Peace, and I'm out.